Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And usually I start off with asking you a question, but it's almost like we all have the same question right now. What's going on?
Peter, I love the name Energy Stew, like a conglomerate of all the energy theories, energy philosophies, energies.
That's what the show, thank you, that's what the show is about. And so we're going to talk about the energy at play now that is dominating our lives dramatically. But to help us understand it better, because I think we all need more insight rather than just watching the news and picking up the latest fears, we need to talk with someone who I believe is someone who I've always looked to have the best information, who knows what's really going on about so many things over the years. I've known her for decades, and she's always impressed me with how far ahead of everyone else she seems to be, including me. So that's why I wanted her on the show, to help us understand what's going on. And I'm talking about Dr. Jane Goldberg, who's a psychoanalyst. She's also, and she's written eight books, so she knows a lot. And she is the owner of the La Casa Spa and Wellness Center in Manhattan on East 20th Street and also in Puerto Rico. And I always love talking with Jane. Welcome to Energy Stew, Jane.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure.
Oh, I'm so happy because we really need to help people see or understand things that most people don't. Because most people, I think, are just in fear about this monster virus that's killing too many people, and we don't know what to do next about it. So where can we start, Jane?
Actually, where I want to start is the idea of social distancing, aka complete isolation, social isolation, also aka solitude. I've been holed up in my house for about 3 weeks now in New Jersey. I'm in rural New Jersey. My front yard is basically a lake that I share with 150 other people. And my backyard is a state forest, 150 acres that I share with 150 people. So we have an acre to each of us, I guess, is one way of saying it. So I have experienced a lot of solitude. And it's actually been really wonderful. It's been really nourishing to me to just be in nature and be with myself and my own thoughts. So I've thought a lot about social distancing, and I thank you for your comment on that you look to me for good thought. I do think a lot, and I do come up with some smart ideas, but I have to say I owe it all to the people that I read and the people that I listen to. I only have a few original thoughts of my own. So the social distancing idea came from a podcast that I heard with Adiel Tel-Oren. He's a really smart MD. He's Israeli, got his MD from Russia. So he's very kind of cross-cultural. He travels to Nepal a lot. He started some orphanages there and brings people on treks out there. So he said something that I hadn't really thought of. It was surprising to me that the social distancing took in this country as easily and as quickly as it did, because this is not, we have a very complex governmental system. We have the federal government, we have the state government, the municipal governments. I mean, everything happens on different levels. And the regulations are extremely complicated. So all of a sudden, all of us were following this. I mean, talk about herd, you know, phenomenon. I mean, we just completely embraced this idea that we need to be away from each other and need to be 6 feet, you know, and isolate. And so what Adiel said on this podcast that I heard a couple of days ago was that had it not been done first in other countries, so the first country that did it was China, of course. Well, China's, you know, basically, I guess, still communistic. Then it was done in Italy, and Italy has a history of socialism. So the government agencies in these countries are much more controlling to the people in general. And so they were able to implement this with ease. And so because it was done there first, it was easy to implement it here. You know, we had seen that it was happening. The idea was that it was working. And so, yay, we found something that's really going to help us. And so we're all going to cooperate and do it. Now, Adiel made the very interesting point that although it may be, the point of it wasn't really to get fewer people infected, although they did say it would have that effect. The point of it was to kind of slow down the curve so that the hospitals weren't overwhelmed with so many people all at once. So it may have had that effect, and it may have had that benefit as an effect, but it's also had a malignant effect. And that was what I found so fascinating about what he said. So when I grew up, we all got the three febrile childhood diseases, measles, mumps, and chickenpox. You're a little older than I am, but I'm 73. And so I'm sure you had all three. Yes, Peter?
Yes.
And everybody in our generation had all three, and it was no big deal. We expected to get them. We got the measles. We had some little, bumps on our skin, and same right. with chickenpox and mumps, our adenoids maybe blew up a little bit. You were sick for a few days. And then, so they did find out. I mean, I went to school with a boy whose mother had gotten measles when she was pregnant with him. He was hard of hearing. He had lost hearing in one ear from birth so we understood that it was really better to get those febrile diseases in childhood than to not get them and then get them as an adult, because specifically with measles, the problem with pregnancy. I'm sure you know anthroposophical medicine, Rudolf Steiner. So sure. The anthroposophical people did a study some years ago, and they looked at the adults who had had febrile diseases in childhood and the adults who had not. And what they found is that the adults who had not had these fever illnesses, measles, mumps, and chickenpox as children, were much more likely to get cancer as adults.
Wow.
So we understand the importance of activating our immune system in a way that it gets activated, and then, in a few days you develop the antibodies and you don't get measles again and you're fine for the rest of your life. So what's happened with the social distancing is that, assuming that there is a virus, which of course there actually is some question about that point per se, but let's go with the theory that there actually is a virus, or that there is some entity that is infectious or contagious, and that we can catch it from one another. So the idea about herd immunity is that everybody is going to be immune. And the best way of everybody getting immune is for everybody to get the disease, which is pretty innocuous. Like you get a flu and you're sick for 3 days, and then...
We're prolonging it by this
exactly.
isolation.
Exactly. And there is a danger in prolonging it. And the danger is that the longer the virus is around, which is what's happening, it's staying around because it can't find, once everybody's infected and everybody has immunity, then whatever the pathogen is, it dies a natural death. It doesn't have anybody left to infect. And that's how it lives. It lives on living organisms. So now what's happening is that it's searching us out, and it's not finding somebody so quickly because I'm
waiting. Yeah. Wait.
So here's the danger. The danger is that the longer it lives, the better chance it has of mutation. The mutation is the problem. That we can develop a herd immunity to the original one, but then it mutates once, it mutates twice, and then these are all new variants that we don't have and haven't built up any immunity to. And one theory is that the people that are in the hospital that, Boris Johnson, he had a mild flu, 5 days, he felt okay, and then all of a sudden, boom, suddenly went downhill. So one of the theories about the mutations is that it's actually the mutation. I think they have established that there's one mutation so far. That it's actually the mutation that is causing the very rapid drop of health and what puts you on the danger point and what puts you on life support.
Right. Although we're not sure how active the virus is so much as the response to the virus by creating too many exosomes that overwhelm the system and create sepsis.
That brings me to my second point.
Okay. So,
thank you, Peter. Very logical segue for you. So when I speak, I've been speaking the last couple of years on a topic, I call it disease is never a mistake. So I go through a list of 10, 15 diseases and I explain how every disease is basically a response by the body in its wisdom and great intelligence to what it understands as a pathogenic condition. So I'll start with cancer because cancer is kind of my bailiwick. I love working with cancer patients and cancer doesn't scare me because I know it's reversible. In most cases, though not all. So Western medicine sees cancer, the cancer tumor, as the disease. And so all of the Western treatments for cancer, chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery are tumor oriented. And we cut out the tumor. Yay, I don't have a tumor anymore. I'm cured. But the tumor was there for a reason. And it's actually a life-saving mechanism. So we have different kind of evolutionary defense mechanisms that have developed over the eons of, you know, from when we were whatever we were originally to becoming humanoids. But for instance, one of them is regeneration. So as humans, we have different regenerative powers in different parts of our body. The eyes regenerate, the organs regenerate all at a different pace. Salamanders have really high regenerative power, much higher than ours. So you cut off the tail of a salamander and he grows a new tail. Okay, we're not that far yet with regeneration, but we're making progress. And so I think one day we will be able to regenerate a limb, like an arm that's been cut off.
Some people think that cancer cells are created by the brain to try to strengthen and build the body in ways that are misinterpreted by the medical world.
Okay, I'm not going to go there. That's a different theory. I'm going to stay with theory. So one of the evolutionary defense mechanisms that we have available as humans is isolation. So I have a splinter on my finger and my toe doesn't hurt. It hurts in my finger because, and then all the white blood cells rush to the where the splinter is. It has isolated where the injury is. The cancer tumor is actually a collection of toxins that the body in its greater wisdom have put in one place. And so in that sense, it's a life-saving mechanism. So if you were to have all of that toxicity circulating throughout your body, you would be very auto-intoxicated. And that's one of the problems that happens with radiation therapy is that, yeah, you're dissolving the tumor, great idea, but you're also releasing all of those toxins into the rest of the body. So in terms of this specific condition of corona, yes, so there are two men that I've listened to that have this theory that you just articulated of the exosomes, Thomas Cowan and Andrew Kaufman, and I encourage people to find their podcast because they're smart MDs and they've thought carefully about it and their reference list is pages and pages long. So, the body, the exosomes are part of the defense mechanism of the body. So there are a lot of the kind of peptide stem cell guys, doctors, and they're doing exosome injections. They'll take some blood from you and then they'll grow, take the blood, they'll put it in a lab and they'll grow exosomes, or they'll grow natural killer cells, they'll grow whatever it is that they decide to grow, and then they re-inject it back into you. And they do that because they know specifically with the exosomes and the natural killer cells, NK cells, that they are routing out all of the pathogens in your body. So it's a natural process that's kind of a medical way of using the body's natural processes in a very augmented way. But just in terms of not even thinking about medical intervention, the body will create these exosomes and the exosomes will become extremely activated, really vigorous and very large in number. So these doctors' theory is that what you're seeing that they're calling the disease is actually an overactivation of the exosomes. You're seeing just such large numbers of
to assault. So in other words, our bodies have been assaulted, so the exosomes get going, and we don't know always what's assaulting the body. And for many people, it's pre-existing conditions that all of a sudden there might be a flu. There could be some people feel that 5G is harming us. There could be other atmospheric toxins that the body then creates these exosomes to protect us. But if we have, it's already operating on overdrive.
It's in overdrive. So it becomes like an autoimmune condition.
Right. And then what I'd like to ask.
And by the way, the reason why that malaria drug works when it does work, and I'm not suggesting anybody take it, but it at times has worked. And the reason why is because that's exactly what it does. It tamps down the immune system with malaria too. You've got an overactive immune system. And so anything that you do that tamps down the, you know, when you have a transplant, for instance, you're on these immune suppressant drugs for the rest of your life, because if the body would recognize this, you know, strange organ that you've just put in my body that used to belong to somebody else, it would develop an immune reaction to it and it would reject it. So these drugs that transplant patients are on for the rest of their lives are immune suppressant drugs. So there are a lot of them, and this one, this hydroxychloroquine, is just one of them.
But I think one of the confusing elements to this is that exosomes genetically look just like viruses.
Yes, that's correct.
And I think that's where the confusion is. Because they're testing for a virus, but genetically they might be, you know, getting information that we have exosomes, which we should have, and they look just like viruses.
Peter, you don't need to be interviewing me. you know everything I know. Yes, that's correct. And there are other problems with the test. This I know from Tom Cowan. So you have to get a little particle of whatever you want to call it, a virus or a particle of, you know, a cell in your body or whatever. It's very, very tiny. It's so tiny that no test can detect it. So they have to amplify it. And so they put it through cycles, and each cycle amplifies it.
Up to 45 times, even.
No, up to 60 times. So when they amplify it 30 times, nobody tests positive. When they amplify it 60 times, everybody tests positive. The reason why they've settled on 45 is because some people test positive, some people test negative on the 45 cycles. So depending on, and the different labs and, you know, the different test kits have different amplifications. So there's no consistency. So we really don't know what we're seeing with the results of the test, frankly.
Right. And that, especially that exosomes, which are a natural part of the body, look just like viruses.
Further complication.
Yeah. So there's no answer to this other than we need to strengthen our bodies, make sure our bodies are balanced.
Plenty of answers.
Well, what I mean is that there's no traditional answer for this.
Yes. So, yeah. But strengthening the immune system is a great thing to do. I mean, it's really the most important thing to do. So I wanted to comment on you commented on the pre-existing conditions, and everybody that I, you know, I'll watch TV and they'll talk. I saw a woman interviewed and she was really crying and really upset that her husband had been in a coma, but he was out of it, so it looked like he was better, but she still couldn't talk to him. And then they show a picture of the whole family, and the guy is 380 pounds. I mean, that's not a pre-existing condition. And then, you know, it turns out he's diabetic. And so everyone that I have heard about, both in my personal life and also on TV, yes, you talk to him enough. I mean, there was a young guy, he was 35, he's a physician, he got sick, and then, you know, he says, no, I'm perfectly healthy. But then he says, well, I have exercise-induced asthma. That's not perfectly healthy. That's as stupid as when cancer patients come to me and say, I'm perfectly healthy except for my cancer. No, you're not perfectly healthy because of the cancer. The cancer means you're not perfectly healthy. So now I'm forgetting where I wanted to go.
Well, we're back.
Pre-existing conditions. Right. Yeah, so that, in my mind, that's just a euphemism. It's not everybody that has a pre-existing condition is on meds.
of sleep. Another pre-existing condition.
The issue,
the body is confused by all the side effects of the medications and is fighting that.
And what I want to tell you now, that what you just said led me into this idea. So what I heard, I forget who I heard it from, but the pharmaceutical companies actually have been in trouble lately. Because, you know, you see an ad for a pharmaceutical and it's got, you know, a list of 20 diseases that you can develop from taking this drug, including death. And so they've had so many toxic effects from the drugs that the drug companies actually have decided to go into vaccines. That's really ultimately what is happening with this, is that the vaccine is going to be created and it's going to be as mandatory as they can make it. I mean, we here in New Jersey, we just had a vote on mandatory vaccines, and a lot of people went down to Trenton and fought it, and so it wasn't passed, but it probably will be passed. It was passed in New York, you know, when the whole measles vaccine thing was going on, the measles outbreak, and my friend's son was at a Rudolf Steiner school, so about 50 of the kids were not vaccinated. They wouldn't allow them into the school. They had to find a school.
Yeah, I'm concerned about new laws of mandatory vaccines for adults.
Yeah,
and
me
we
too.
Don't know what's in the vaccines. We have no idea.
Well, we do know that they've taken out mercury, but they're still putting in aluminum.
Right, but that's in the children's vaccines. But I'm talking about when they start having viral vaccines. Antiviral vaccine.
They'll put in aluminum because aluminum makes the body react more vigorously to the vaccine. So they want that reaction.
So they'll see some bad reactions from that.
Yeah.
So right now my goal is to have this quarantine lifted as soon as possible. Because the economy is
you sound very Trumpian in that.
Yes, it's the one thing that I admire about him.
Yeah,
that he wants to get us going. Like Sweden is doing a great job, and they've had very low viral issues there, and somehow you know this herd immunity is working. So
does Sweden have social isolation?
No. For people who they feel might be vulnerable, but most of the population is normal.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think should happen here, is that people who feel vulnerable and because of whatever physical or age problems they have should avoid much contact, but everybody else should get back to work and let this virus play itself out, which is apparently it's not that bad a virus if you're healthy.
Right.
And so let it play out, and the hospitals, if there is social distancing for the people who are still vulnerable, the hospitals won't be overwhelmed. They have to start doing a better job and stop intubating so much and start using more oxygen on people and giving them zinc and other things that seem to be working, plus that one product that a lot of doctors are having success with.
The reason why I mentioned being out here in New Jersey, North Jersey, where there's very little population, is because I can be in the sun. You know, when I'm in New York City, there's no sun in New York City.
Well, high doses of vitamin D are very important. My brother is about to come out with a book on vitamin D with the latest research that shows that very high doses are amazing. There's a hospital in Georgia that did research with it, and they found that every patient who they gave 100,000 units a day to got out of the hospital twice as fast as everybody else.
Well, they're having such luck in Japan because they're using 26,000 milligrams of IVC. And I do have a doctor here that will get, he gave me 25,000. I said, well, in Japan, they're using 26. Why are you giving me 25? He said, because he can only buy it in 25,000 units.
Okay.
So I did have that. I had some, he threw in some thiamine, some glutathione, you know, different vitamin D.
Well, unfortunately, the public can't get that much of it. So they can, and the stores are pretty much sold out of the good things, vitamin C and vitamin D and zinc. There are so many opportunities. And a homeopath told me about Arsenicum album 30C, which would be great when you have a flu. And that's all sold out too. So
I'm taking a homeopathic preventative, and I can get that.
Yeah, well, she recommended Arsenicum album 6C as a preventative. So
this one was developed especially for Corona.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So then we're nearing the end of the show. So let's get information about people, how can they contact you so they can get any extra information from you and know more about your spa and everything else.
I don't call it a spa anymore, although its name, website is lacasaspa.com, but I rebranded it to La Casa Spa and Wellness because it's really not a spa at all. It has very little to do with...
You have state-of-the-art equipment there. It's amazing. Yeah. You even have a Hokat machine.
I do. I have the only one like it in the city. It's Ozone. Ozone.
Actually, there is another one that I've...
No. I have the only one of this kind. The other one doesn't have PMF. And
no, it does. Yes. I was in it. Yes. Frequency specific microcurrents.
No, that it has that, but it doesn't have PEMF.
That's okay. Oh, PEMF, right.
Pulse electromagnetic
field.
The frequency specific microcurrents, I love that it has that. So it has, you know, you have a headache, you have a cold, you have a flu, you have, you know, circulation issues.
You have great stuff. So people should contact
you. But the main thing about the Hokat is the ozone. Ozone kills every pathogen known to mankind.
Yes, ozone is great.
And so the Hokat is relatively new at La Casa. So we've done ozone from the beginning for the 26 years we've been there. So my ozone, I'm looking at it right now, my steam cabinet, it's here now in my house. So I'm doing ozone every day.
That's wonderful. But let's get back to how people can reach you because we're really at the end of the show.
LaCasaSpa.com is the email address of La Casa, so that's the best way.
Okay, Jane Goldberg, so incredible to talk with you. I just love everything you have to say.
Peter, like I said, you could have done the show without me.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Mm-hmm.